And why don't we turn to one another and welcome each other to church. Say hi, especially to those who don't know us that well. We might know. Let's welcome each other to church this morning. Hey, do carry on those conversations at the end of our time together, especially if you're talking to someone that you've never met before, chatted, grab a drink, and do continue those conversations. Now, everyone, this morning we're going to be thinking about the history of the church. In the morning series here on Sundays at Kensington, we're following a series on the church, what it means to be the church. And so today in this all-age service, we're going to look at the history of the church. Last week, well, everyone, kids, we reminded ourselves that the church is not a building, right? The church is a people. So church means people, not a building. But not any old people. It's not like any group of people mean church. Church is a group of people who love and follow Jesus Christ. That's what a church is. People who say, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, I believe he's king. That's why we've got Jesus in a crown there, saying Jesus is king of my life. In the Price household at home, when we talk about this together around the breakfast table, the dinner table, we actually put a crown on our heads. Let's all do that now, shall we? We just take our hands, we put a crown there just to remind ourselves that Jesus is king. He's king of our lives. Okay, Jesus is king. And Jesus promises that he will grow a people all across the world who will love and follow him. And we're going to see that this morning. Jesus promises that he will build his church globally. All right, so in other words, Jesus says, the good news about who I am will go all over the world. And people will love and trust in me. Listen to how Jesus said that. So here now are some of the last words, kids, grown-ups, that Jesus said while he was here on earth. Then the 11 disciples, therefore Matthew's account, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. That's a helpful reminder, isn't it? Sometimes we go through ups and downs as we follow Jesus. Sometimes it's harder to follow him than others. Sometimes we find questions in our hearts. Questions are okay. Questions are okay. Are we trusting Jesus? And even in the midst of those, that's the question. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, and I put it in red, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is king. Jesus reigns. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and tell people about me and to follow me. So let's just think about that for a moment. We're going to play a little game. If you'd like to help me, kids, just come up onto the stage. So I need some volunteers who'll just come up onto the stage with me. If you're brave enough, just come down. Eleanor, come down. That'd be good. And just Josh, that would be good. You guys stand over there. You guys stand over there. Paul and Helena, you just watch in case any little people fall off the back of the stage. So kids, you stand there and look this way. So stand there. Stand there, and you're all looking at me. All right, you're looking at me. Brilliant, okay? So you're all looking at me. If you're tall, you need to go to the back so that the shorter people can see me, all right, if you're tall. Now, what is my name?
Simon.
Simon. There is a great game. I love it. I think people should live by this game a lot. And it's called Simon Says. Right? So Simon Says, it works like this, right? When I say Simon Says, and then ask you to do something like, Simon Says, touch your elbow. Right. Grown-ups, let's fall along together, shall we, all right? Feel free to do this. Okay? Simon Says, touch your elbow. Okay? Simon Says, touch your head. If I ask you to do something without saying Simon Says, like touch your toes, it's going to be difficult for me. So you don't, Josh, you don't do that. Because I didn't say Simon says. All right? So if I say, for example, Simon says, touch your eyes, and then I say, touch your knees. No, we don't. Because I didn't say Simon says. Okay, so let's have a go at this game, all right? We're involving Mike. Here we go. Everyone ready? Good? Here we go. Right. Touch your ears. Oh. All right, don't worry. All right, that was a little first try. Let's try again, okay? Hop on one leg. All right. So only if I say, Simon says, okay? Here we go. Simon says, turn around. Oh. All the way around, Callum. Good one. Simon says, jump on the spot. Simon says, pat your head. Simon says, sit down. Stand up. Oh, now. Very close. So you four, you sit down. You go sit, no. Go sit back with your mums and dads. You did very, very well. That was very good. All right, let's stand up. Oh, dear. So those who stood up, you go and sit down. That was very cheeky, wasn't it? I did plan that. I've got to be honest, I did plan that. Okay. Simon says, stand up. Simon says, both hands in the air. Simon says, one hand in the air, the other hand down. Very good. Well done. Grab a chocolate, Callum, hand out one chocolate each. Channing and hand those out. Hold it and hand it out. Okay. So, as the kids take their seats again, all right, we saw there people listening to me, what I commanded, and when I asked them to do something, Simon says, they followed. And do you know what? And that's because they were listening to me and looking to me. And as people love Jesus, listen to who he is. Jesus says, I'm king, follow me. So people who love Jesus, follow him, obey him. They are disciples, those who love Jesus and follow him. And those are people who belong to the church. You can be 5-year-old or 3-year-old like Rachel prayed, or an 83-year-old. Being a Christian, being part of the church, is listening to Jesus, loving him, and following him. And 2,000 years ago, everyone, Jesus lived on this earth, and he taught about who he was and what he came to do, what it means to know God. And he said, go and make disciples. He died and rose again. He died on the cross. We sang that in Super Savior. All the wrong things we've done, Jesus died for those, so that we might be acceptable to God. We might be forgiven by God. And he rose again 3 days later. And then a group of Christians, a group of people who loved Jesus, met together, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. The Holy Spirit entered them, and the church was born. It's called Pentecost. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And a few years later, a guy called Saul, as he was walking to Damascus, he became a follower of Jesus too. Should we see how the good news of Jesus has spread now? Look, it's spread from this part of Israel. It's spread into the bottom of what is now Turkey. Therefore, go and make disciples. The church telling people about Jesus. Okay. Let's have a volunteer. Someone who's going to come up and hold this piece of paper for me. Yes, so will you come up? That's the first part of our church history line. And Khaled, you come as well. Khaled, you come up as well. Hold this next to Tallulah. That'd be really good. Well, you hold that. Now, you're going to be up here for a while, all right, guys? So, no. That's it. I'll tell you what, Tallulah, hold it on the sides. Okay, so this is the next step, right, in church history. 64 to 311. That's a long time ago, everyone, all right? And under lots of things happened as the church began to grow. Under a famous emperor called Nero, the church encountered great persecution. But then there were these amazing teachers in the church called this guy here. Okay, this is going to be a sweet boy. It should be a big bar of dairy milk for anyone who can tell me, who is this person here? an important person in the life of our church history. Justin. Did someone say Justin? It's Justin Martyr. So Justin and Irenaeus and this guy is Polycarp. These people taught about the church, and they helped us understand that this book that we have, this is God's word. It's the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And they were really good boy cards. You just keep holding. They were really influential. And look at the church spread. Look at that, brothers and sisters. The church there, 63 AD, God's people going to the nations, sharing their faith, telling people about Jesus. 311 AD, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. In 312, this gentleman called Constantine, he made following Jesus the kind of official religion of the Roman Emperor, of the Roman Empire. And these individuals, people like Basil and Gregory and Athanasius, these were men who wonderfully taught the church what it means to understand the Bible. And at that time, there were lots of councils, people gathering together like this, talking about what it means to follow Jesus. And they wrote things called creeds. A creed is a short little statement, poem, about what we believe as Christians. Creeds are really, really important. Here's one creed called the Apostles' Creed. And it's just a short statement of what it means to follow Christ. As a church, this is really important. The Bible that we have is our ultimate authority. The creeds are kind of summaries of what the Bible says. This is so important. We should be saying creeds regularly in the life of the church. So we're going to stand together now. Stand with me. This is a really important part of our church life. Stand with me, and we're going to say this creed, this summary of what Christians believe together. Let's say it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do sit down. Do you see that word there, Catholic? That means universal. I believe in the worldwide church. What an important summary of what we believe that is. And look at the spread of Christianity now. 475, Christianity is continuing to spread the good news of Jesus going to the nations. Okay, a couple more volunteers to come and hold up our timeline. Who will come on, Josh, you come up here. And Eleanor, you come down and hold one for me as well. Eleanor, you come down. There you are. Josh, hold that. Okay, we can see now the history of the church continuing to grow. 4766, the church continued to grow. And the church continued to expand. People continued to take the good news of Jesus to the nations. Look how the good news of Jesus is spreading right across this world. And then 800. I need now another volunteer. I need someone else. Yes, come on, Ethan. You come and help me. This is now another period in the life of the church. I'm going to hold that one. Ethan, hold this. Right, guys. Hold it up nice and straight. That's it, Khaled. All right. Everyone can see now these important developmental, the development of the life of the church's history. Monasteries grew. In this part of the church's life, sometimes church leaders got a little bit big for their boots and they got more important than the Bible. Church leaders started using money badly. There was a big division between the East and West in the church during this period. But God's work continued to grow. The good news of Jesus, though, continued to advance. 1299 AD, look everyone, look at the spread of the gospel as the good news about Jesus goes to the nations. 1300, this man is called John Wycliffe. I need another volunteer. Who will come and help me? Ezra, will you come and hold something for me? No, will someone come and hold it? Someone, Yes, Sifa, you come and hold this next part of church history for me. This is 1300. The big man in the middle there is called John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe translated the Bible. He helped us understand the Bible in our... Oh, thanks, buddy. You hold that one. That's really helpful. Good lad. And Sifa, you come and hold this. And John Wycliffe reminded us that the Bible is more important than what our church leaders said. Our church leaders sometimes can get things wrong. We shouldn't hold our church leaders first. We should hold the Bible first. And we don't need church leaders to have proper access, to have a proper relationship with God. We don't need to go through a church leader. We don't need a church leader to help us know God and who He is. Let's remind ourselves what that is like. Now I need two helpers. Isla, are you going to come and help me? Yeah, do you want to come and help me? Stand on the stage, Isla, come and help me. And I need another little helper. Yeah, come. Now, you stand close to me. All right. Oh, and Anna. Anna, you stand on the other side. And yeah, let's come as well. Right? You stand now. We want to get this lovely piece of dairy milk, all right, to this lady here, all right. Yeah, you're not gonna keep it. Sorry about that. All right. So you pass it down now. We want to get this to Isla. Anna, you take that. All right, pass it to me. Okay. Oh, Isla, you're not impressed with that, are you? That wasn't good. Okay, let's try that again. This time it's a bit of fudge. Okay, so for Anna, here comes a piece of fudge, look. So pass the fudge to me, Anna. Right, this young man really wants to get this to Isla, but Isla, I'm going to keep that as well. That's no good, is it? Look, I'm getting in the way. What you want, Isla, is you shuffle up next to Anna, right? And now let's try this. Let's get this piece of twirl. And now you give it to... Yeah. Oh, that was just hesitant. That was close. That was a close thing. I wasn't in the way, but let's try that once more. This time, why don't you give that to Anna? And this time, why don't you keep that bit of dairy milk? Everyone give these guys a round of applause. Guys, you can go and sit down. Go and sit down. So you see, I was getting in the way there, wasn't I? I was getting in the way. And John Wycliffe said, you don't need someone, another person, another human being, to make your way into God's presence, to know God, to follow Jesus. You can cry out to God and you can trust in Him for yourself. You don't need a church leader to know God. All of us are able to cry out and trust in Jesus for ourselves. The spread of Christianity. This was a troublesome time for Christianity. It was difficult. Now 1521. This is the one that Sifa is holding up. And this is what Tom was speaking about earlier in our service. This was a time of great reformation for the church. A man called Martin Luther said, we can come to God directly through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to trust in a bishop. We don't need to pay money. When the offering bag comes round, that doesn't make us a Christian. If we go to Kensington Baptist Church, that doesn't make us a Christian. A person who's a Christian is someone who trusts in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of their sins. And the good news of Christianity continued to spread. And it spread like wildfire. In the 1610s to 1800s, who else is going to come and hold this for me? Another volunteer. Callum, you come down. Hold this for me. The good news of Jesus was preached by Jonathan Edwards. People saw the centrality of the Bible once again. The gospel continued to go to the world. A man called George Whitfield amazingly preached the gospel in the UK and in the Americas along that time period. And look at the spread of the gospel now. Callum, pick that up. As the good news of Jesus continued to spread into the Americas, into Latin America, across the world. And finally, in our day, the good news of Jesus. Paul, hold that for me by there, brother. Stand up and hold it there. The good news of Jesus has continued to amazingly advance all over the world. Today, brothers and sisters, people describe how the church has wonderfully advanced in what is called the Global South. Think of Africa. Think of Latin America. And whereas Christianity, whereas we are struggling in Europe and in the Americas, where we're struggling to follow Jesus and to think through what that means, our brothers and sisters in Africa, our brothers and sisters in Latin America, people like Conrad from Zambia and Pastor Anthony in Zimbabwe and Pastor Innocent in Rwanda and Pastor Kenneth in Kenya, they are showing and teaching us what it means to be church. They're demonstrating what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to grow the church and to be bold and brave witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we in the West now have so much to learn from our brothers and sisters in Africa, from our brothers and sisters in Latin America. And I'm amazed to see and rejoice to see what God is doing in those countries and how God is leading and building his church in the world. Should we see how the gospel has spread during these last recent centuries? Look at that. Spread of Christianity. Jesus says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Let's just have a little recap, shall we? On the spread of Christianity. Here we go. Jesus says, therefore, all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that is what, in God's mercy, has been taking place as God has built his church over the centuries, over the millennia, as God is making Jesus Christ his only son known. So we're going to sing a song now. Just take a pause. We're going to sing a song that rejoices in God building his church. It's a song that kind of repeats some of the basic things we believe as Christians. Let's stand and sing together. Kids, turn around. a seat. So we saw there through 2,000 years how God has been building his church globally, how it's spread across the world, how God has used faithful Christians to teach the truth and to make him known and to make and proclaim the good news of who Jesus is. And really quickly now, we're just going to think about how that happens locally. God builds his church globally and God builds his church locally. Remember these words that we looked at 20 minutes ago? The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Tell other people about me. Tell people to follow me, to love me." And how do we do that? Look, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. We are a visible demonstration of God's worldwide church. And how do we do church? Well, two things. We baptize and we teach. We baptize and we teach. Baptism is where someone publicly says, "I love Jesus, I follow him, I'm no longer living for myself, I'm living for Jesus." And they show that by going through some water. This is a baptism, sometimes it's filled with water. They go through some water and come up the other side, and that demonstrates, I'm living a new life now. The old's gone, the new life has come as I follow Jesus Christ. And then they start obeying Jesus. They want to follow him, they want to love him. He is their Lord, they are his disciple. They listen to Jesus, they obey what he has to say. And this church, back in 1831, started meeting in Thistle Street, and a group of nine people, look, just nine people met together and started saying, "We are following Jesus. We want to make him known." And they started baptizing and they started teaching. And this year, everyone, is one of the earliest photos of this building. So the church in Thistle Street, well, that was burnt down in 1855, and this present building was opened in 1888. That's how long this church has been here, since 1888, and that is one of the earliest photos of this room, 1888. Now here are six of the past pastors of the church. All of those men would have stood in that pulpit up here. It was a high pulpit, and they would have preached, they would have taught, told people about Jesus, told people about who he was, explained the Bible. All right, so I would like now quite quickly six men to join me on the stage. So six men, don't be shy. So if six men could just quickly jump up and come and help me, that would be a great help to me. So six men again, don't be shy. And I've got one so far. Tom will do. Thank you, Steve. So six men. And once you've arrived, if you could stand in a line and just hold up this pastor, that would be great. Now, we only got five. So thank you, Nick. That's a great help. All right. Now, here are our six pastors. Now, what order did they pastor in? All right, so we're trying to put these, what is the correct order that these pastored, ministered in the church? All right, so Lucy, I'm happy for you to help me, mate, but you might, who is going to come and help me sort out the order? All right, say again, Grace. Pastor King was first. So Pastor King, you have to have a look. That's you, Paul. Paul, come down to this Pastor King. Right, does anyone else want to shout out? Kids, who do you think was next? You think Brown was next, Georgina. So Pastor Brown, that's you, Steve. Come down and stand next to Paul Wynn. All right. Who do we think was next? What do you think, kids? Hey, Hayes, yes, that's Tom. Tom, you're Pastor Hayes. All right. So we've got by here, this is Pastor King and Brown and Hayes. Who's next? Roland. Who's Roland? This gentleman here. Okay, all right. What do we think? Finn, are you happy with that, buddy? What do you think? It's hard to know, isn't it? All right. Carol Parker, are you happy with this? Carol Parker, you wrote the book on this, Carol. All right, should we have a look? All right. Ah, you see. So Steve and Paul swap around. Brown was before King. Okay, everyone give these men a round of applause. And So there we've got six pastors of the church. Grace, you're contesting that, are you? That was pretty good. Oh, sorry, you said it was pretty good. Brown, King, Hayes, Roland, Abernethy, and Detzler. You see Pastor Abernethy there, kids? You see, look, that bit of metal work here. That's it here, look. Right? These men faithfully stood in this pulpit, and over the 10, 20, 40, 60 years ago, they taught the good news about Jesus. They stood here, it was much higher up, and they opened the Bible, and they taught people about Jesus. And whether you've been at Kensington for 1 week, if this is your first week, or whether you've been here for decades, that is what we want to do. We want to open the Bible, see what it has to say to us, and tell other people about Jesus. And we want to do that in a way which thrills us and gives us joy and gives us hope and encourages us, so that when we go out from this place, we go and spread the good news of Jesus. We go and teach people about who Jesus is. In our conversations with our neighbors, with our friends, as we get to know people, we look for opportunities and build relationships so we can say, hey, this is who Jesus is. This is what it means to follow him. And we hope that as we teach people about Jesus, what will happen is that one day they will come and stand here. There's some steps under this bit of carpet, and they too will go down into this big tank and be baptized. And they will say, I want to follow Jesus Christ. We are a Baptist church, and about 400 years ago, a group of churches said, look, we think baptism is really important. Baptism is for people who can stand and say, I follow Jesus. I believe in him. I love him. I trust that I'm forgiven through what he's done in his death on the cross. And so Baptist churches make a special emphasis on the importance of baptism. And the reason we do that is because Jesus did. Jesus says, go and share the good news of Jesus, make disciples, and as they become disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we, church, are a local expression of the global church. And the way that we get to spread the good news of Jesus is by loving him, trusting him, going out from this place and in our lives, making him known, and praying that this room will be filled more and more, whether you're 5 or 15 or 25 or 75, filled with people who've come to know and love the Lord Jesus too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these words of the Lord Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. And Father, we praise you that you have been doing that. For thousands of years, the good news of Jesus has been spreading to the nations. And Father, we thank you that that happens as people trust in Jesus and say, I'm no longer living for myself. I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm loving him and are baptized and follow all that he has to say to us, lovingly obeying him. And Lord, we pray that you would do that work amongst us as a church, Father. We pray that this term. We pray it for our kids, our young people. We pray it for people of all age, Lord, all ages and stages, that, Lord, we would know Jesus, and we would love him, and we would make him known, Lord, wherever you send us, wherever we are, Lord, in these coming weeks and months. So, Father, thank you for what we've heard from the Lord Jesus from Matthew's Gospel. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, our last song just rejoices in church, in who we are as a church, in who Jesus Christ is. And it calls us to be the church together. Let's stand and sing as the music begins.